see. We have a corner, I believe.
And you represent Handy's and nothing me down the hall, so I don't know if you're going to
be
joining
yeah.
us after
yes.
that.
Oh, likely so.
That's right.
The first time you join us, we're in it.
Oh,
well,
oh.
We can do that.
It's like a
bouncer.
Yeah, sure.
Well, let's go ahead and get started. We'll call the Point of the Mountain State Land Authority Board meeting to order. Let me begin by saying, offering you a warm welcome, but also letting you know how much we appreciate your service. This is important service for a state, and sometimes it's not always convenient, but it's important. A couple of items. Val Hell from GOED, who's a member of our board, has asked to be excused. I believe he's out of town, Jill.
Right.
And Jill from his office, Jill
Flygar
is sitting in, and she won't vote today, but she's taking his place and going to inform us of any issues that are related to Val and that office. So, Representative Steve Handy, Lieutenant Governor just informed me, is attending another meeting. Representative Handy will be taking a position on board as the other representative. When he comes in, we'll get him sworn so that he's official, can exercise his vote. We both had to be sworn in as representatives. That happened for me about 10 minutes ago, so I'm officially a representative now too. I called and gave the news to my wife. So we'll come back to Representative Handy when he's able to join us. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes of the meeting December 19th, 2018. And I'll look.
So moved.
Very good. Thank you, Mayor Walker.
I'll second it.
And seconded by Mayor Ramsey. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Minutes are approved unanimously. Getting to the meat of the meeting, maybe before I do that, turn this in time to Lieutenant Governor. Jill, my understanding is we've had a number of applications been submitted for the directorship. Can you just give the board some idea of the numbers we're looking at to this point?
Thank you. As the board members are aware, you posted an opening for an executive director. The posting was put out on the state website, and that opening will close on February 3rd at midnight. And to this point, we have 34 applicants.
Wow.
The majority of those applicants have come in via a resume to our HR representative at GOED. And so we can go through the procedures and the methodology of vetting those in a moment, but right now, 34 applicants.
Great. We wondered when we started this whether we'd get any interest.
Yes.
that's good to know that there's interest out there, and hopefully we get response from some good applicants. So with that, I'll turn the time to our Lieutenant Governor and Chair Cox for talking about that selection process.
Well, this is something we've been working on, and Chris has been helpful in getting this selection process together. But our thoughts were, as we've talked about this, and I believe you should have a draft there of the hiring process. Does everyone have that? That make it into your packets? Okay. So this is a proposal of moving forward on the selection process. So of course we'll have GOED do an initial screening. We're anticipating that with lots of times when you do hirings like this, you get people who just don't meet the qualifications at all that of what we have set out, so that they would go through and do an initial screening. And you can see what we had kind of listed there as some of the job announcements. So I'll just run through these. The position requires a bachelor's degree from an accredited university, a master's degree or other advanced degrees preferred. Candidate must be an innovative leader with strong leadership skills and an understanding and experience with the creation and launching of a new entity. Requires 10 years experience with a record of success, including 5 years in a leadership role, working with a public agency or private sector organization dealing with one or a combination of the following: real estate, construction, recruitment, public planning, administration, or management. Candidates with experience in managing large and complex organizations with significant capital and market structure will be considered, and preference will be given to experience in Utah markets. So those were the qualifications that we set out. What we're hoping to do is to designate just a small group of interested board members to kind of do the next level of calling. Going through, looking at the applicants, evaluating those applicants, and ranking those applicants on a scale of 1 to 5, as we've laid out there, or any other criteria that the board would like to include, and then take those recommendations from that smaller group for interviews, and we would do that. We would come in an executive session as a board and interview those applicants and then deliberate together and make a decision. And we would, that's our proposal. And Mr. Chair, I'll leave it up to you to
thank you
see how the board responds.
Good. So as the Lieutenant Governor said, you have a proposed draft that lays out this proposed plan. It says draft because it hasn't been approved by this board, and so we can have discussion if you think there's something that is important that we've left out, perhaps in the qualifications or in additional criteria. You don't have to add anything there, before we finalize this, you may want to ask questions or propose amendments. Does this look okay generally to folks, to you? Okay.
Hi.
So,
Jim.
Oh, Jim.
Yeah, just one thought on number three. Just wondering if ranking them 1 to 5 with the number of applicants you're going to have is going to give you enough separation. And maybe each of these categories should be more than 1 point so that you can get a little bit of variation in the scoring is all, was my thought.
I agree with that. Maybe go 1 to 10.
1 to 10? Okay. Is that, Jim, would that be your motion?
Sure.
And you'll second that, Mayor? Thank you. So the motion before us is that with respect to this draft, Roman numeral 3, instead of a ranking on a 1 to 5 scale, that would be changed to be a 1 to 10 scale to provide a little more separation of the candidate. Let's have discussion on the motion. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, and so this process or procedure is amended accordingly. I'm gonna interrupt the discussion right now because my friend and colleague, Representative Handy, has joined us, and we'd like him to be able to vote on these, and so Representative Handy, if it's okay, let's get you sworn in so you're official.
I took care of that housekeeping item at 1 o'clock with our chief clerk.
Yes, both of us did that, but now you need to be sworn in as a member
of
this body. So,
Kathy's.
Chris.
Oh, did
she
comes after you're sworn in.
She said she'd come back. Do you mind if I go get her?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. Either way, Kathy's our notary, and she's going to go grab her really quickly. She was here.
So, Representative Handy, we're grateful to have your help here. And
thanks. Excited to be here.
Why don't you tell the board, the folks here?
I'm a state representative from the Layton area, and I have been in the legislature for 8 years, starting my 9th session. Just came with the Lieutenant Governor. We were down in the Governor's Energy Advisory Council down at the other end of the building. And so worked a lot in the energy area and air quality things. And so happy to be here. I'm chairing political subdivisions. I've had public utilities, energy, and technology for a long time, and I'm got a new assignment to chair political subdivisions.
Yeah, thank you.
Assignment from the speaker.
Well, we're happy to have you here, and Representative Handy and I sit a seat or two away on the floor and have for many years, and he's not only very smart and able, but he's got a great sense of humor.
We have a few laughs. Can't do that again.
All right. So with that endorsement, let's have you sworn.
All right, can we do this? Why don't we walk? Come
around. If you'd just like to stand where you are, and I'll
sure,
just
thank you.
Administer. Great.
All right, good.
All right, if you wouldn't mind raising your hand and repeating after me.
That, yeah.
I state your name.
I, Stephen G. Handy.
Having been appointed to the office.
Having been appointed to the office.
Of Point of the Mountain State Land Authority.
Of Point of the Mountain State Land Authority.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And that I will discharge the office of my the duties of my office with fidelity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, now we're looking even more official. So let's drawing your attention back to the the procedure for selection of a director. Any other discussion or amendment? The chair, if there isn't any more, the chair would entertain a motion to approve this process and this procedure for selecting our director candidate, our director position.
So moved.
Thank you, Chair Assembly. And thank you, Mayor Walker, for signing the motion. Discussion on the motion? Not seeing any hands, call for a vote. All in favor of the motion approving this as our process for selecting our director, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No opposed, the motion passes unanimously. Going back to the agenda then, and moving, really making good time here. It looks like it's time to turn some time to you, Mayor Walker, to talk about early stage transportation planning as it relates to Draper, and you probably have some staff here. I know you.
I do. David, go ahead and introduce yourself. I'm David Dobbs. I'm the city manager for Draper City and the mayor of the working on this. Jeff Hartley's our one of our lobbyists that's working with us, and Christina Oliver is our community development director.
Good to have you back.
I was going to let David present to you kind of what he's been working on as far as not only just roads, but water, sewer, power, all the things that you plan for. So he's got a little
bit. Thanks, Mayor, and
turning time to you, David. You need to sit here.
No, I think I'm okay. So up on the screen, in front of you is some work that we've done with Envision Utah. That's the whole Point of the Mountain area. This focuses just on the prison property. And one of the things that we have started to do is have discussions with the utility providers in the area. And one of the things that we need to start working on is figuring out where the alignments of the roads will be and then where the utilities will stub into this property. So this shows from 600 West, you can see this area right here is a new interchange that UDOT constructed. It currently ends right about here, but then the intent is that it would go south into Bluffdale City. This is the Porter Rockwell Boulevard that some of you are familiar with. Bluffdale would like to see this road connect into their city so that they have better access into Bluffdale, as well as going through the prison site. We've also looked at the extension of tracks, and we have received funding in a joint effort with UTA, Sandy City, and South Jordan City from Salt Lake County to do the first step in the environmental work of looking at how tracks would extend from Sandy City down through the prison property. So this is a simple layout of the main roads within the development. And this just shows a little bit more detail of the actual roads. This shows the light rail alignment. Public transportation is a key component of how the prison will develop. And so as we've looked at it, we actually had worked with UDOT when they're widening I-15, and that they plan for this alignment to go over I-15 and connect into where Plural Site in Draper is currently looking at building their campus, and then it would go south down into Utah County, down toward Adobe.
keep in mind on that light rail alignment, there's two alignments that have kind of been looked at last year. Call one of them is leaving the Sandy Station up where it terminates by Jordan High School and coming down State Street and then into the site that way. The other is just to follow the current alignment at the end of the line in Draper, the blue line where it ends, just follow it around on the right of way that ET already owns. And then it would cross again into the prison site over that bridge and then come back is what it would, or maybe loop with something else. So that light rail line going through the middle of State Street and down that is not necessarily how it would be. There's sort of two options on that.
Now, obviously ridership's important to UTA. This alignment would generate significantly higher ridership than it would if it continued on from the terminus in Draper going on to 29. This also looks at doing bus rapid transit from the current Front Runner stop going down into the prison and utilizing the Puerto Rico Boulevard alignment. One of the things that has come out in a lot of the discussion with Envision Utah is the idea of having open space as part of this project. So Draper City has been, we've been looking at preserving open space for almost a decade now. We have almost 5,000 acres of dedicated open space in the city, but all of that's on the east side of I-15. And obviously having open space as part of the prison site would be an amenity that I think would really attract the kinds of businesses. So I can tell you, like in our discussions with Pluralsight, one of the reasons they located in Draper is the access to all of the trails and hiking and open space that we have in Draper. So somehow we need to connect our open space with the open space within the prison site itself. Here's a simple rendering of what could be developed on the site. Now this is, you know, at full build out, this is with parking decks. This is, you know, if we were to all think of what we would really like to see there in terms of maximizing the development potential, this is something that could be done. But this would, again, for us, in terms of Draper City, what we're looking at is trying to figure out how we're going to bring the utilities and the road infrastructure into this. One of the things that you as a board will need to decide in the very near future is what kind of development you want. So as we start analyzing, for example, water capacity, we need to know how big the lines are, where will the lines be, and obviously that's driven by the number of housing units, the amount of the square footage of office space, the amount of landscaping. So before we can really put the infrastructure plan together, the board will need to make some decisions about what kind of development it will be. Here's the same rendering with an aerial photograph on it. This has a lot of green space and trees. And you can see on the far east side of the prison site along I-15, this is where you see more of the intense high-rise development. You've got more of a tech center in the middle, possibly some residential on the west end as well. This main thoroughfare right here is Puerto Rico Boulevard that would extend down into Bluffdale City. We have a canal that runs through part of the property as well. And then what doesn't show on here, there are some high voltage power lines owned by Rocky Mountain Power that we'll have to take into this plan and figure out how to accommodate that as well.
So David, go back to the one that showed the visual, the next, that one. The open space that you referred to kind of on the west side, is that city owned right now? You know, is that the area that's open to the west of the...
So you can see, so this area right here is in Bluffdale, and that's for future development.
Okay.
This area is actually in a conservation easement.
Yeah, I thought that was protected,
state
right?
Property. And that's where the Jordan River Trail goes through.
Is that entire parcel there?
It is. So it goes right up to right about here, and then all the way down to Bangor.
And does the conservation easement allow for some recreation development, like trails and that sort of thing?
That I'm not sure of. I'm not sure if someone from the state knows. It's owned by the property's owned by the state. I don't know if there's anyone.
I don't believe
that.
It does.
North of the open space that put your mouse on the front runner. So just to orient you, that's where Front Runner stops.
Okay.
So the proposal would be BRT from there down that Puerto Rico Boulevard into the site, in and out, which would connect with
whatever connection comes out of the west side of South Jordan, that's what
down through Harriman across River to connect it.
Yeah. Hitting there, and then the bridge is, they've marked the spot where it would go over I-15, and it can tie in either way at the Pluralsight area and go south, or it can come around from the end. Just orient you where front runner is.
And the tracks alignment?
So the tracks alignment is this
reddish
area that will come right across here.
Okay.
And then tie into the Pluralsight area and then go south down.
Gotcha.
Okay. So again, as we've been looking at it, this is just a rendering of what is possible in the area. And you know, we've met with the utility providers, and their questions are always, what's the phasing? What's the intensity? What kind of density are you looking at? So obviously those are decisions that the board is going to have to make in the near future. But as we've met with all of the utility providers, one of the things that we're looking at now is coming back to you with a proposal that hopefully the city will put together and manage the consultants that will put together the infrastructure plan. Everyone's ready to go. So we've met with the sewer district, Jordan Valley Water, Rocky Mountain Power, and they're all ready to go once we put together that final plan with the cost estimate that goes with that. So here's a little bit of a different rendering that shows you the aerial view of what is possible in that area. And in this model, the open space is more intertwined into it. So rather than have a large block of a park or something, you'll see that we've got pathways, green space that we found to be more popular with kind of the high-tech community office users that prefer to have the ability to get out and use that kind of area. This shows you what some of the districts are. So on the far east side, again by I-15, you have the office district. The middle would be the mixed-use town center. You've got the retail by the interchange, so that retailers like to have that access, and then possibly the residential neighborhood. And these are just concepts and ideas that we have been working with Envision on.
Where in that, if there were to be a higher education component to this land, where in the research area, I'm assuming, is what
so
you
we
mean?
So we were anticipating down by the research area. I mean, that has the access to 146 South. And then also it's, as you transition from that high intensity area, as you start going south towards Bluffdale City, if you look at an overall planning perspective, it made sense to kind of have it transition from the high intensity use of the office area and the mixed use down into that. Research campuses tend to want to be a little bit lower in height, a little less intense use, but again, this is just a concept that we've been working on. So that's where we're at the moment. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have or take any direction that you want to give us.
Any questions for David or staff of Draper?
Yes.
Do you guys have a height limit in Draper on sky rises, 10 floors?
So we do, except for the area that, scroll out here. So up by the eBay area, the front runner is a unlimited height, unlimited density.
Okay.
So that's one area that we don't have. This board retains land use authority for the prison site. So you will determine what the land use regulations are, not the city of Draper.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be happy to work with you to come up with some model ordinances and policies that you could use to make those kinds of determinations. I think you're gonna want flexibility in that, because you may get a few office users that want to go high. And having that answer up front, my experience is that when they come in and they say, hey, we're looking at going 15 stories, is that allowed? It's better to say yes up front than say, well, we'll come back to you later on and determine that. But in that master plan process, we can put together some model ordinances and we can use for that.
So,
So like Sandy City and continuing on down through all of this, is that one option, or what happens to the last few stops across the view, Campbell's Lane, Draper, does that go away if you don't continue around from there? No, so right now the tracks goes through Sandy and ends across from City Hall in Draper. The one option would be continue from there down Utah County. The other option is to go at some point across I-15 and then down into the bridge.
So you lose the last few stops that go up the bridge?
From this connection, yes.
What do you consider your population increase with that model?
So just to be sensitive, we've not gone to that level because that's not the city's decision to make, and we didn't want to even put anything out there that might put this board in the position of having to take a stand for against it. That's my politically correct answer.
One of the things I want to point out, you asked about the height restriction. So I was a council member when we zoned that Fernline stop, unlimited height, unlimited mm-hmm. density. Mm-hmm. We thought that was one of the first, I think it might have been the first one in the country. We thought that every big developer would come in there and build a big building. Mm-hmm. It's not what happened. Mm-hmm. In fact, it sat for quite a while. But it's filling in now, but it seems to be market-driven anyway. So, you know, you can give that flexibility. And the good news is we have six-story buildings or eight of them in there now. eBay came in and built a two-story building with a mile-long parking lot. Literally, yeah. It's a mile from the end to the door. But now that the land value is increasing and that this is all starting to develop, you're going to see higher parking structures are going to fill in. But we have that flexibility. So,
yeah.
You know, the neighbors weren't super happy with that when it happened, but it ended up being fine. And, you know, everybody's property values went up and eBay went in there.
Yeah. We're not sure that the conservation area, it's in our statute that is a conservation area. I think it leaves open to some sort of park type development.
Yeah.
Just not residential, commercial. It probably, with this project, would probably be the only time that you'd have the opportunity to do something with that property. So it certainly should be included in consideration.
I tend to agree with my opinion with the mayor that kind of amenity would be a draw to the prison site. So
yeah, it could really enhance.
It really could.
Either.
So I have a question. I apologize, Chris.
I was just going to weigh in on the conservation easement. I pulled up the statute. It defines the uses. It says recreational activities such as baseball, tennis, soccer, golf are not permitted. However, facilities such as trails, waterways, and grassy areas are permitted.
Great. So someone was kind of forward thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now there are a number of bird migratory areas in that particular area, and the conservation of course has a Jordan River trail through it and a couple of spurs as well as a monument.
That's great. That's really I think one of the not challenges but one of the things we want to do in moving forward is make sure that we plan for access from the prison site to those recreation areas as easy as possible.
So typically, in my past when we worked in real estate with conservation easements, it's not to change it into like a recreational area, but you can certainly improve it to help like the deer or if there's geese or natural habitat of like plants. So the idea is to like conserve the natural plants, the natural animals and things that within it. So that's not necessarily anything against improving it. Mm-hmm. You can make it look better, more green. Certainly careful with fencing and stuff so you don't have like pointed fences that you're gonna find deer jumped over and they're dead. So like you can do things to it. It just needs to be better for the habitat and certainly not like, okay, we're gonna bring in golfers now or bring in a baseball player. It's not for that. So, but because it's just right there, it's such a nice area already dedicated to green space that you may not need quite as much green space in this other part because you have a nice area right there. But you may connect it with the smaller pathways and stuff. That's just such a nice large area.
That's what I was going to
say. Yeah.
With respect to the tracks, the alternative analysis, and you mentioned this, David, Senator Fillmore and I met with UDOT and UTA, and they put together, as you mentioned, the financing package to do that analysis for this kind of an alignment. And that's the first step, and we'll look at that and see how feasible it is. So, Mayor, I know you and I have talked before about realigning this. Tracks and getting it to the Point of the Mountain property. And We believe in the work that we did with Point Mountain Development that getting transit to the site is an important part of improving that site and bringing the economic development that we're going to need there. So, let me ask Mayor. Go ahead, and then I've got a question about.
I just want to say, we do need to remember to keep a parcel of property. And I don't know, it doesn't have to be super big, but a public safety parcel for fire and police. Because I think this area will be intense enough and big enough that we're going to need to have public safety there to be able to do the job effectively. So some piece of this property integrate in fire and police station, which will be able to serve the whole west side of it. That's one other thing to keep in mind.
Well, we appreciate you doing this analysis work and moving out on this. And I think what you would say to the board is you're confident, Draper City is confident in your ability to provide services.
We are. They're actually excited to do it. We've been looking at it for a lot of years. We've been involved in the Point of the Mountain Commission process. I mean, I think David and our staff have provided, you know, the point of it is if you'd let us do it, you know, we can do it. If you hire someone else to do it, they're just going to come to David and say, okay, what can we do? We'll end up doing it anyway, but we won't get to really, you know, do it. So I think it makes sense. I think that, you know, our staff is professional and capable of doing the, it's the stuff that we do all the time. We do have a common vision for it to be. I think you know that it's not just a Draper City project by any stretch. It's an asset that benefits the entire state from St. George to, you know, to Logan to east to west. And I think we, as this board develops it that way, we are on board for that concept to be what's the most benefit for the whole state of Utah. So, but I think we can lend those services. I mean, we're geared up to do it. There's no, we don't have to do anything to change. You know, we're ready to go. We might need a little bit of funding from this, you know, to task for some of the projects. But David's already met with all the utility holders, and they're ready to do interlocal agreements, so they're ready to go.
I can tell you from the South Valley Sewer District, we're bracing ourselves and gearing up for this addition, because it's a lot to add to a
to
sewer
add,
district.
Sure.
It's a lot to add. So.
So is this in South Valley Water and Sewer District?
Jordan Valley Water, South Valley Sewer District.
Now, these are new plants, got a significant amount of capacity. The new plant that just was built a few years ago, but one of our council members is on the sewer board, so Alan. And
yep.
So they,
next time.
Everybody's been looking at it. So I mean, I think, yep. I guess my message is we've been trying to plan it ourselves or give a high level view. We'd be happy to do it. I think we'd be capable of doing it.
Very good, Mayor. Anything further on this item on the agenda?
No, I just want to just reiterate that I think that as we look forward, I think the window's closing on us a little bit in the sense of these transportation projects take so long to plan and fund that I don't know how to spur it, but I hope we're moving that direction quickly. Because my fear is when the inmates leave, you know how it'll be. Everyone's going to go, we're ready to build. You know, what will be, you know, that. So, and I don't think it's very long until the inmates leave.
We can slow that down if you want.
I'm not asking for that.
I'll talk to you.
All right. It was a try.
Is it okay, Mr. Chair, if I just say that it's impressive. This is a challenge, I think, for a local municipality,
yes,
to have this in your boundaries, but it's state-owned, mm-hmm, and it brings, mm-hmm, intense use, and it's just tricky. And my hat is off to Draper City for the planning that you've done. It's a unique position to find yourself in, but I appreciate even seeing a rendering like this of what might be possible. But
really,
it's
impressive.
Cool to see something real that it could look like. Yeah. So anyway, well done. Thank you.
Well, if you get in their planning minds, they're pretty excited about the prospect.
I echo that. That's awesome to have this much work done. Yeah. Thoughts put into it.
Have that pop up like that. Sure.
Yeah.
That's well said, Mayor Ramsey. And I just add to it, the recognition that this larger parcel is in the middle of your city, arguably not subject to your zoning, but you're at the table, and we're going to collaborate together and make sure that this is something that Draper City and the surrounding communities come up with too. So I agree with you. Hats off. You've been great to work with when we were running the legislation and getting it formatted. And so thanks very much. And thanks for your staff as well for their input and help.
Jim, we don't have this on the agenda, but what are the expectations for the prison completion? Can you give us any update on that?
Our completion date is still May of 2021, but that doesn't consider transition.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so I expect transition between prisons to happen, you know, maybe as how long that takes, we're still trying to define with Department of Corrections, but I imagine that it will start before May. We won't start it at May 31st. We'll start that probably in January.
Okay.
Training staff, transitioning over, stocking things, you know, because we'll be turning over buildings sooner than that. It'll probably go 3 months or so past that, I would guess. 3 to 6 months, but not past the end of the year, certainly. So, you know, the end of 2021, to your point, that's coming really fast. It really is.
Good. Well, I think our timing's good.
Is the only thing I would add is, and Mayor, to your point about moving this along, we need this executive director to start this process. That's why we wanted to get this closed the first week in February. We want to get that hire done as soon as possible so we can start doing things. And again, that's not slowing down the planning that's going on, and the meetings we've had with UDOT and with UTA as well are critical to that, because you're right, those transportation projects take a long time. And we want to get them in. But this is the good news about this one is we have their attention. I think we have the attention of the state, we have the attention of the legislature, mm-hmm. obviously, and the backing of the speaker and the president, and I feel like we're going to have all of the resources we need to make this a grade A top flight project. I mean, something world renowned that sometimes I worry we're not thinking big enough actually with this project, and we're gonna talk a little bit about that.
I've got better pictures.
We're transitioning
now for the real photos.
They're great pictures. No, they're great pictures. But let's broaden our vision, and this is gonna be great. So,
thank you.
But just one last thing, because I have a very active historic preservation commission in our city, and I promise that I would mention to this commission. There is a desire to preserve some type of history. They would like it to be a lot more than it probably will be, but something to integrate historical preservation. This has been a prison for a long time. There is a locking mechanism that the state owns, and that facility, the only other one's in Alcatraz. So there is some pretty cool historical. That I just want to mention that let's keep in mind doing some historic preservation.
Absolutely.
Yep.
The easement mentioned there's an archaeological site at that conservation easement as well that could be preserved.
There's a really awesome monument to the Native American tribes, all the tribes that you know frequented this area anciently and even more modernly, right off the end of the U-Bay. It's really cool if you haven't been out there. It's right off the trail.
Where's it at, Mayor?
Sure. If you go down the Jordan River Trail past the U-Bay, come to the side, there's a little spur and there's
right
a
there.
Bunch of monuments. It's awesome.
Great. We'll go see that. Yeah.
Check it out.
All of that will enhance the site. So it is exciting to be a part of it. And thank you again for being here today and for your contribution. Chair, to entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Mayor Walker,
I'll second.
And seconded by Jim. Non-debatable. All in favor say aye.
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 We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Pretty smooth sailing. We won't always be here, but right now, yeah, that was good. Solid job, ma'am.
I thought when I got here too, I went, oh, and here we go. And it looks like I'm not here. Yeah. Yeah.